Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, we're so glad to be with you once again, and we thank the Lord that we have a living Savior that's alive and well, and He is going to come back for us, and He says, where I am, there you may be also. And we want to talk today particularly about the time of the resurrection of Christ, which is coming up, and so we'll read some passages, and also I was thinking today we'd like to dedicate it to the martyrs of Jesus around the world that have won the victory over Satan by refusing to recant and to stand for the resurrected Christ to their dying day. And it is happening worldwide in our time. We need to pray for these people, but we thank the Lord that as soon as they were killed by whatever means, whether it was crucifixion, it's going on and heads taken off and some of them taken into slavery, yet the moment of physical death, they're alive more than ever with the Lord Jesus Christ because He rose from the dead. And so we want to talk today about His resurrection. And our faith is based on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The other religious leaders, they're all dead and in their grave and they can't do anything for you. But our God is alive and well. And Jesus, our faith is based on fact because Jesus said that He was going to physically and bodily die and pay and be punished for all of our sins, and then the third day He was going to bodily rise from the dead. And we're going to start off, and I'm going to ask Brother Al Davis, and he is pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. He's always on with me. He does a fantastic job. And he's going to read some of the passages, and we're going to mention about Easter, and then I'll be singing. We'll talk some more about it. Okay, Brother Al.
Well, thank you, Bruce. And again, good to be with you today. And just a reminder, the program's a live program. If you want to give Bruce a call today and ask him a question about what we're talking about, you can call the station at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 and get you on the air here this afternoon. And a reminder, too, you can listen to past programs online at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can see some of the materials and stuff that Bruce references from time to time. And of course, we've got Palm Sunday coming up this Sunday. And then a week later is Easter, Resurrection Sunday. And I'm going to read here in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 1, the Bible says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for He is risen, as He said. Come see the place where the Lord lay.
Well, thank you, and I want to sing a song today. It'd be a little different in our program, but it talks about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and Mary coming. It goes like this. Mary came unto the tomb of Jesus. The stone was moved, for He had gone away. The angel said, fear not, I know whom seek ye, for He is risen. This she heard Him say, gone, the stone is rolled back, gone, the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at His Father's side. He's gone over death triumphant, God. Sin is defeated, God, to live forevermore. My friend, if you don't know this risen Savior, I beg of you, don't wait too late to pray. Don't wait until His bride has been completed. Don't wait until you hear Him say too late. God, the stone is rolled back, God. The tomb is empty, God, to sit at His Father's side. He's God over death triumphant, God. Sin is defeated, God, to live forevermore. I thank the Lord. You can go over there and you can go to the place where they put His tomb. The angel says, come see the place. And so there's millions that have come and seen the place where Jesus lay, and I went and saw it myself, and you could see the runway there where they put the stone. The stone is gone, and the Bible says that the place was right across, right nearby where He was crucified, and you could see the stone bed that was where they had laid His body, and you can walk in there, and you can see that place, but He is the living God, and He is alive today. And millions of people can testify to that fact, that they know that He is alive. And so we thank God for that. We're having a time of it. They're just unhinging me from that guitar that I was playing. But
they got you tangled up in your music there.
Okay. But anyway, we're having a good time here today. And we can laugh, and we can rejoice, and we can sing. We do that in our churches. And because we have the living God that we serve, that He is alive and well, and He is with us, and He will be with us forever and ever. And so we thank the Lord for that. Okay, we just got unhinged now, and we're all ready to go. I remember when I was over there in the Middle East, I went to the tomb of the leader of the Baha'i faith, and lady got down and she was praying, you know, to the tomb where they had their leader, and he was buried there, and it was a beautiful place on Mount Carmel. But I was thinking about 90 miles south of there was a tomb, and our leader wasn't there. He's alive and well, and millions can testify, because you can talk to him, and he gives you answers. And he talks to us in His infallible, perfect word, the authorized King James Bible. And so He's the living Savior. And, you know, Jesus, He didn't just say He'd come out spiritually. He said He'd come out bodily and physically. And so after that, He appeared to the apostles. And most of them were recorded in history as dying for the fact. We have the recording of each one where they testified to their dying day that He died for our sins and rose from the dead. And the Bible says he was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. And God put His witness on it. And you know, Jesus, when he said another thing, and man, if He wasn't the Son of God and wasn't what He claimed to be, he was talking like a madman and a lunatic, because he said, I have the power to lay my life down, and anybody can do that. But he has said, I have the power to take it again. And so he said he was going to rise from the dead the third day. And before that, when he died on the cross, his disciples and followers, most of them left. They ran away like bunny rabbits. But after he rose from the dead, They were with him for 40 days. And Jesus at a meal said to one of them, he said to Thomas, touch me and handle me, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have. He really died. They put nails in his hands. They put nails in his feet. They put a spear through his side. The Roman soldiers knew what a dead man was. He died. And they put his body in the grave. And, you know, it couldn't have been that he just swooned or something like that, but they wouldn't have believed it. They saw him die, and then they saw him come out of that grave, and he was alive and well. And then he appeared to 500 people at one time and then appeared individually to the apostles. And our faith, the secular world talks about faith as a leap in the dark. Our faith is not a leap in the dark. The Bible says it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so we have a living God, a living faith that we can trust in and we can believe. Now, we call that, sometimes we call it in the King James Bible, it's mentioned as Easter, and it can be referred to as a period of time there. But there's something a lot deeper to that. And Brother Al was talking to me about it before the program, and I want him to talk about that word that is used in our authorized Bible and possibly why they use that particular word for the time of Easter.
Oh, yes, Bruce. In Acts chapter 12, it's a very interesting account where James was killed and Peter was imprisoned. And let me just read there real quick. We'll see the word in question. And it says in Acts chapter 12, starting verse 1, "Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he sought please the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread." So because of that, we know we're right after the Jewish Passover. And then in the next verse, verse 4, it says, "When he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four quaternions of soldiers, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people." And this word Easter here is where we have the contention. Should we use the word or not? And you know, we talked about this before, and for many years, I was under the impression that Easter was actually a reference to Ishtar or Astarte or one of the false goddesses, and it was a reference to a pagan holiday. But in this particular passage here, we need to remember that the word translated as Easter here is the Pascha, which is the same word that's translated as Passover elsewhere. So the word that's in the Textus Receptus is not the word for a pagan holiday, but it's a word that's associated with a biblical term, the Feast of Passover. And so the question then becomes, why is that word there? And I guess in order to try and address this in a real short order, the word Easter does not come from Astarte or Ishtar or anything like that. It actually comes to us from the German language and the Teutonic languages through Old English into the English. And there's also the influence of Tyndale in his Bible, where he took Pascha and he invented the word Passover. It's sort of to describe it, and the Passover is a great word that he used. But the German word was Oster, and that word Oster comes to us as Easter today. In fact, Luther in his Bible referred to Jesus as the Oster Lamb, which in the Old English would have been the Easter Lamb, and not the Ishtar Lamb or the Astarte Lamb, but the Easter Lamb, the Passover Lamb. And the distinguishing characteristic there is that in this passage, where it's used in Acts chapter 12, verse 4, is the Christians in the first century were already celebrating the resurrection of Christ, and the word in German for resurrection, the root word, is the same word that gives us the English Easter, Ost, and to Oster, to Easter. And this was a date that was already being observed by the early Christians as far back as the first and second century as a celebration of the resurrection of Christ. And so the use of Easter here goes back to the King James and even beyond. It goes back to Tyndale and some of his works to distinguish this from the Jewish Passover, to let us know that this is a celebration not of the Jewish Passover, but the Christian celebration of the resurrection of Christ. And we know it's not the Jewish Passover because in here in Acts chapter 12, it says in verse 3, then were the days of unleavened bread. The feast of unleavened bread took place after the feast of Passover. If they were referring to the Pascha, the Passover here, as the Jewish Passover, then Herod was intending to keep Peter in jail for another whole year. But the context doesn't suggest he wanted him there for a year. He was going to bring him out soon after the Jewish feasts and the, for us as benefit, remember, Luke is writing this and clarifying so we understand the timeline here after what would have been the celebration by the Christians of the resurrection of Christ. In other words, Easter, the resurrection.
Brother, thank you, Brother Al. You always do a fantastic job, and I appreciate you being here with us, and it's really great. And, you know, our Lord is he's the living God today. And as I mentioned before, I was talking to a gal at behind the desk at a hospital over in St. Luke's Hospital on the east side of Cleveland. And I said, well, our God's a living God. And she says, that's right. He took me off of crack cocaine without even going through withdrawal symptoms. And you know, that's one of the most powerful drugs there is. In fact, you take it about one time and you're hooked. But he is the one that answers prayer today. He's the one that gives us the power to live. He's the one that gives us a source of joy. He's the one that gives us peace. He's the one that gives us, and he said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He's not coming to a church, we ought to go to church, but it's not coming to sacraments. It's not coming to all of these different things. They're not holding out to the end or keeping the golden rule or all of that stuff. But no, it's coming to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are to repent of our sins. We're willing to turn from our sin and accept him as Lord. In simple English, Lord means he's the boss. Before we sit on the throne of our life, but now he's on the throne, and we accept him as Lord. And then Savior, that means he is the one that has been paid for all of our sins. He was punished in our place. And he said, it is finished. Our salvation is complete, and all we have to do is accept it. And the Bible says it's a free gift. And so he is the living God. And the Bible says he upholds all things by the word of his power. I like a powerful God like that. And a God that can give me joy, a God that can give me peace, a God that's alive, and a God that's well. And you know, one of the most important things, and that's what we talk about on this program, is he said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. In three of the gospel accounts, and then another one in Gospel of John, he says, I pray not for the world, but for them that thou hast given me out of the world, for I have given them the words that thou hast given me. In his high priestly prayer in John 17, and he point blank says he's given us the words that he has given us. And he gave the words to the apostles, and he'd give them perfect recall, bring all things to the remembrance. But then on Pentecost, he gave them the translation of those words. And so the King James Bible is testified by the Syriac Peshitta, the Tatian's Diocletian in 150, by early church fathers, by 99% of the ancient manuscripts, by the Gothic text put up by Euphilus, by the old Latin text that has come down to us. All of these testify to the true words of the authorized King James Bible. And then you have the great men that God has so powerfully used, from Finney, who said he never felt qualified to correct it, or Talmage, who said it's a perfect translation, or Spurgeon, that called people that corrected as popelings, or Billy Sunday, that went to New York City and had 123,000 converts and said, if scholars disagree with it, they can go plumb to the devil. And you have the body of Christ. In the Old Testament, they had a special priest class of Levites that protected the word of God, and it came down to us. And by the way, Jesus never said that the Old Testament text had been corrupted. He gave his approval to it. But in the New Testament, it's not a special class, a priest class, but it says we are made priests to him. The body of Jesus Christ is the priest, not some group of intellectuals in some college somewhere. No, it's the whole body of Jesus Christ. And the latest surveys continue to show every generation that comes out, they're going back to the King James. That's people that read it every day. That doesn't mean the sales by some company, because some of these surveys, they just show the sales that certain companies made, because there's a lot of churches that are involved in translating it. But people that read it every day, the great majority of them read the King James over any other translation. And the Bible says the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and he will guide you into all truth, and he will abide with you forever. And the Holy Spirit, he moves the Christian that is humble. If you're proud, no, because you're influenced by Satan if you're proud. But if you're humble and you come to God with a humble attitude in prayer, he will lead you to the true Word of God. And it says he will guide you into all truth. Our Bible, our King James Bible, we have a universal language today. It's a universal Bible that goes to the whole world. It sold 5 billion copies, and it continues to grow worldwide despite 100 years of attack. And the Bible says we can look at the perfect law of liberty. And thy word have I hid my heart that I might not sin against thee. And Jesus said, thy word is true. He used present tense. He didn't say it was true in the originals. Now, we believe the original is true, but nobody has the originals today. And most evangelical scholars say they don't know what the originals say, but we have the true word of God today. In the Old Testament, the originals of the Ten Commandments were broken, and God restored them and gave them again. And one of the prophets, they were told to bury the originals in the Euphrates River, but God gave it to them. And when Jehoiakim destroyed the originals and he cut it off with his penknife, God gave it again. God will preserve his words. And the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. And so we can thank God today that when we read a King James Bible, we are reading the last words of our Creator in heaven. Jesus warned people for changing it. The modern ones take the names of Jesus out 100 places in the New Testament, take out passages all the way through, and they give their arguments. We have here the evidence, and it's out in many books today that the people that have studied the evidence, and we give it in books. We could talk about which Bible is God's Word by McElroy, or we could talk about which version is God's Word by Floyd Nolan Jones, or we could talk about New Age Bible versions by Gail Riplinger. And it goes on, and many other fantastic books that they have done their research and show from every possible evidence that we have God's Word today. And the people that attack it, they're ignorant. And the Bible talks about willful ignorance. They change the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator. They're serving their own brains and so on. But we have the true Word of God today, and millions of people believe it. There's 700 Baptist churches in the state of Ohio, and the great majority of them know where the Word of God is. It's only a tiny group that have been deceived, but the majority, you could go there, and they have the true Word of God, the King James. And they've had it in other languages. The Bible-believing Christians have had it from the time of Christ all the way to the present, and they've had it in their different languages. And it's the proof and evidence that we're saved. Jesus said, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. If you've repented of your sins, you have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have the wonderful promise that if you die, you absent from the body, present with the Lord, not by your works, but by his free gift that he has given to you, eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ, and found in the living words of the living God in our authorized King James Bible. Well, God bless you today.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.